You have to say that. You have to say that. So it's been a wonderful series. I've enjoyed it. And so I'm actually shifting into a new series today called Why for the next 3 weeks. But I'm not leaving Psalms because it's a perfect bridge, because we're going to look at the subject of why praise. If you know me for a minute, you know praise and worship is my, well, as the kids would say, it's my jam. Praise and worship is my thing. I love worship and praise. But sometimes we might even ask the question. I want to answer the question, why praise? Next week, out of the park, we're going to answer this question for people that come, and even for us, because you might even wonder, why church? Why is it we do this? And not only that, and so we're going to have some folks even give testimonies of how good God is, and let people know why church literally transformed their family's life. Church and the body life. And then the third week, we're going to talk about why pray. But today, I want to talk about why praise. And again, this is my favorite psalm. So it's one thing to preach about your favorite scripture or your favorite subject, but to have an opportunity to preach on your favorite psalm, for me, this is great. And the reason why it's my favorite, for many of you who may not have heard the story, but I used to live as I was an intern at a pastor with a pastor. And one of my jobs as his intern was to mow his lawn every week. Well, he had quite a large yawn. I don't even know what I said, but you know what I mean. I can't even reverse it now. He had quite a big area that I had to mow every week. Where did my words go? I told you I could barely speak English today. So I would get out there, and it took about 3 hours to mow this yard, and I had a cassette of a message called Praise Power. And it was all on Psalm 34. And because I just wanted to redeem the time, I got my Sony Walkman out, I put the cassette in, and I listened to it. I could listen to the sermon about three times in the time that I would mow the lawn. And I can remember the sermon. I got to the point where, after an entire summer of mowing his lawn, I got to the point where I could literally nearly recite the entire sermon verbatim. That's not going to be the sermon today, but I want to remind you, he says in the sermon something that I just am reminded right now. You don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. Whew. How many want me to just preach that sermon? I'm not going to. But that's the truth. And I remember having this. And so Psalm 34 has become my favorite psalm, so much so that normally I just focus on a little portion. I haven't read the entire psalm of any of the ones, but I can't not read the entire psalm today. With your permission, I'd like to read the entire psalm together. Can we do that? Psalm 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear thereof and be glad. Will magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. For I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all. Somebody say all. All of my fears. They looked to him and they were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Somebody say any. Come, you children, listen to me. I'll teach you to fear the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them from all of their troubles. The Lord is near those who are of a broken heart, and save such who have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Someone say, uh-oh. But the Lord delivers them out of them all. He guards all of his bones. Not one is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Father, anoint our hearts, our minds, our ears. We just declare ourselves open and receptive to what you have in Jesus' name. Amen. He says in this psalm, and you know this song, you've heard this song, we've sang versions of this in song many times, and I've read it thousands of times, but he says in this psalm, he says, let us exalt his name together. Well, why? Why praise? Let us exalt his name together. Why praise? Well, it's important to note that David was a man after God's own heart, which literally means he wasn't a perfect man, but he was a man after God's own heart. Let me say something I've said many times before. It's not about perfection. It's about pursuit. Are you pursuing the heart of God? Yeah. And in our pursuit of the heart of God, he will perfect you. Receive that today. And so David's a man after God's own heart, but he was very much a fully human person. And so David, he never, though, in his heart of hearts, in his heart of God, he never got to a place where he stopped worship. But many times he found himself making decisions that led him where he didn't want to be. The first and foremost reason why praise God is, I've already mentioned it, he inhabits the praises of his people. We praise, he shows up. There is nothing we can do, church. Nothing you can do. There's no magic phrase. There's no wonderful term. There's no special song. There's no favorite hymn. There is nothing that you can do quite like just praising God that invites the presence of God to inhabit your presence. Are you grateful for that today? He inhabits the praises of his people. David knew this. And when he praised God, he felt the presence of God. And of course, we worship God because he's God, and we were created to worship God. But when we do, we enter God's presence. But watch this. He enters our presence. And there's a beautiful exchange from your yuck to his amazing. You just get into the presence of God and begin to receive God as you praise him. Let me remind you of Psalm 100. It's the first psalm we preached on this series. And Psalm 100 says such an incredible phrase, make a joyful shout unto the Lord. Yeah. Thank you, all three of you. I was telling the first service, I read a book years ago about how when the Jesus people, the long-haired hippies, all started coming to Jesus back in the early 70s, how they were going. They didn't know any better. They would go anywhere to just find something spiritual. So they just slide into a church, half of them still high, still like overcoming some of that stuff. They're just, you know, these hippies would fly into church. Well, there's one story of a group of guys that showed up at a church. It was a Presbyterian church, which is usually a little more conservative than we are. A little bit. And they're in the back row, and the pastor got up and he began, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And they said, yeah. And they started shouting in the back, and it shook the pastor. He's like, well, they took the word for what the word said.
Come on.
Make a joyful shout unto the Lord. Make a joyful shout unto the Lord. Woo! I thought you might figure that out. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God, and it's he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. You see, the scripture is very clear that when we enter in to his gates, we can get into the presence of God, entering in through the gates with thanksgiving and praise. It's why we stop to say thank you in communion today, why we stop to remember. Those are gates that we're entering into. Those gates are called praise. When we do that, the amazing thing also happens is that we call down heaven to invade earth. Jesus said it this way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, finish it with me, on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus wasn't messing with us. He was absolutely telling us the truth. We can pray this prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And when we pray that prayer and we get in the midst of God's presence, he shows up and kingdom power, kingdom resources begin to act on our behalf. I love this. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. So when we praise God, we know this. We invite the presence of God, and he inhabits the praises of his people, and the kingdom is released on our behalf. But something that I missed for many, many years, again, this is my favorite psalm, but in studying this, I was provoked and just stopped when I read something that I hadn't really read before. I probably had read it many times, but this time it just stopped me in my tracks a little bit. I was like, huh. And that was the inscription to this psalm. You know, the translators put like a, for lack of a better term, a headline at the beginning of the psalms. How many of your Bibles have a little headline at the beginning of the psalms? You know what I'm talking about. If you didn't bring your Bible, that's okay. It'll be up on the screen, but you might want to bring your Bible. I love bringing my textbook to class. I'm just kidding. Anyway, so in the top of it, many of your Bibles might have this, but it has a little inscription. The one in my Bible says this, and the inscription, the historical context for this psalm being written right here says this, a psalm of David regarding the time he pretended to be insane in front of Abimelech, who sent him away. And we're like, oh, well, let me just read the psalm, man, because I don't even get what that is. We just move on. I stopped me. I'm like, what? Regarding the time that he pretended to be insane in front of Abimelech, who sent him away. He says in the midst of the psalm that I prayed to the Lord and he answered me and he freed me from all my fears. I preached some version of this already in the first thing, how we enter his gates of thanksgiving and praise, but what I want to note about David's life, and you may not understand the historical context, and for time's sake, I'll try and speed it up, but what's going on here? Well, this psalm is written in an amazing time in David's life. Actually, what has happened here, because you're wondering, what's this insane thing? Well, David is, I've already mentioned, Saul has a hit on him, right? Saul's got he's out to kill him. David knows that. He's been running from all this time, and David keeps running from Saul, and he decides in his wisdom within himself, the best choice that he can make is not to keep running over here with all of his friends. He's running from them, but he decides, I'm going to go hide in plain sight. And he goes and hides in the enemy's camp. Dun, dun, dun. Not a good choice. But in his mind, he's thinking, this is logical. They keep chasing me. I'll go over there and I'll hide amongst them. I'm going to hide in plain sight. I'm simplifying this story for time's sake, but that's what he does. He gets over there, and it doesn't take him very long, and they realize this is David. This is the one who slayed Goliath, our hero. This was like, you know, their hero, and David slayed him, and it didn't take long because the story was so well known, and they recognized David. What a knucklehead. He thought he was going to be able to hide in plain sight. They saw him, so they seize him. They arrest him. They put him in jail. While he's in jail, David gets to this place where he's like, what in the world did I get myself into? Anybody ever ask that question in your life? How did I get here? Why did I allow myself to get here? What was the decisions I made? He gets to that place where he's asking those questions. And that's literally where the psalm kind of comes from. But there's Psalm 54. Again, they're not in chronological order, but Psalm 54 tips you off as to what's going on in this psalm, because in Psalm 54, he's there in the prison and he writes this psalm and he says, cleanse my heart, O God. He starts asking for forgiveness, because just like you and me, we might go down the road of our lives and we're doing things. We think we're doing the right thing. You know, we establish our plans. We start going that way. But we realizing we might have deceived ourselves. And we get to that place where how did I get here? And we repent and go, God, I want to do it your way again. And we ask God to forgive us. And this is literally what David is doing in this moment. He's asking God for his forgiveness. David was a human being, and he comes to this place in the sense like you and I all need to come to, and I pray that you don't have to hit rock bottom. Some of you have hit rock bottom before, and there was nowhere to go but up, and thank God he reached down. He chased after you. His reckless love reached down and got you. Amen? But it was when you turned around, you might find yourself in a bad spot. You might find yourself going in the bad route, but he allows U-turns. Amen? He allows us to repent of our sins. And that's what's going on. David stops and he's like, he comes to himself and realizes, I have blown it. What am I doing over here? I don't deserve to be here. As a young man at 19 years old, over and over and over again, I listened to this message on Psalm 34. And I heard these words and I had a call of God on my life that was so strong. And I couldn't, I could taste it. I knew God had a call on my life for ministry. I knew it. But for whatever reason, I decided that I might try things my way. Frank Sinatra had it all wrong. I did it my way. And when I did it my way, I found myself far from, the call was still there, but I found myself far from the calling that God had for me. Far from the very place that God wanted for me in my life. He was a kid at 19 years old. That same kid found himself in a place where I thought, yeah, I'll start playing the game with God. I love God, but I'm a little disillusioned with the church, and I'm disillusioned with ministry, and I don't know about this. And so I ran off to start partying and drinking and doing drugs and just stupidity. And I find myself in the midst of that. Thank God that I came to myself. I had an awakening, and in that awakening, I prayed a prayer, and that prayer simply was something like this, because I thought that night I was going to die, and I said, Lord, if you'll spare my life, God, I know there's a call of God on my life, I'm going to come back to you, I'm going to repent, here we go, U-turn, God, I'm repenting, God, please don't kill me tonight. I'm going to die tonight, but Lord, if you'll spare my life, I'm going to go back into ministry, I promise, if you just let me, even just let me be a church janitor. My first job after that was a church janitor. I should have aimed a little higher with my prayer. I don't know. All I know is this, as I began to pursue God again, the call had never left me. But I came to myself. Not only that, I came to who He was in my life. I came to my spiritual senses. I came to a place where I said, God, I don't deserve what you've given me, but God, forgive me again. And here's what I want to tell all of us. Many of you guys have been Christians for I don't know, many years. Some of you have been Christians since before I even had a Bible. You've been around for a while. For those of us that have struggled in our Christianity many times, what our problem is for most of us is we have life that we're living. And life gets messy. And you make mistakes. Okay, just me? Y'all are way quiet. Did you guys become Presbyterian overnight? What happened? Not picking on them. I was just like, well, I thought we were Pentecostal up in this place. Do I got to get a handkerchief out and start sweating? What do I got to do? I'm just saying, I made some mistakes in my life. I found myself in a position where I made some mistakes like you have. And as a Christian, as a pastor. Yeah. I put myself in positions where I thought I was doing the right thing, or I just chose because of my own ability to deceive myself. I give the enemy credit, but I'm pretty good at deceiving myself. I don't even have to give him credit. Just left to my own devices, I'll find myself in that position. But here's what happens. This is liberating for those of you. For those of you that maybe you're new to this thing, I want you to know something from the outset. God loves you. Absolutely is in love with you. And what happens is the enemy knows how when you and I get in the presence of God, change happens. The presence of God floods your life. There's fullness of joy. There's peace. There's direction. There's understanding. You're praising God and He shows up and you're in His presence. The enemy wants to stop you from that. And so what happens is you show up on a Sunday morning and you're thinking on a Sunday morning, surely God saw my week. Guess what? He did. Every moment of it. Oh, I don't know if I could approach the throne. I don't know about. And we're within ourselves. And sometimes, obviously, it's completely subconscious. We'll come and we'll kind of not feel worthy. Everybody say worthy. I don't feel worthy to worship God. What a week I had. Those things that I said to my employees. Those words that I spoke. And Christians shouldn't talk like that. Pastors shouldn't talk like that. Oh, I have some family stories, but I won't tell them. We all have moments. And we come to that, oh, we make these mistakes. And what the enemy wants us to do is steal your praise. To get you to stop praising, get you to not praise. And you show up feeling like a second-class citizen on the shelf. I've made a mistake. I'm not good enough. And by the way, God bless you. You're way ahead of the game. You rolled in here this morning. So for some of you, you're like, that's all I could do, Pastor. You're talking about just entering in. I could just barely get there. Good. God bless you. And by the way, you know, as we worship the Lord, you could kind of sense yourself kind of dying to yourself and just allowing the Spirit. That's why I want to encourage you to make sure you get to church on time. Because when you get here in the third song, the treadmill's already going, y'all. We're moving. You're just going to get thrown off. I'm just saying. Get here and get involved. Like, we'll do a fast song at the beginning. Why? Because we want to go into the presence of our God right now. We want to get there. We just want to get in the presence of God. And it's not about whipping something up. It's about forget all that. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to worship God. And so the enemy will try and marginalize you as a Christian and steal your praise. Oh, Sister so-and-so, man, she is so spiritual. Man, she's always, I see tears. She worships like nobody worships. Brother so-and-so, he's amazing. He must be a superhero for Christ. He must never do anything wrong. Follow him around with a video camera. No, don't do that. Don't do that. We all make mistakes, and we marginalize ourselves from worshiping. This is literally what David does. He finds himself in a position where he's like, how did I get here? And he realizes, I don't belong here. I belong in the presence of God. And he speaks that out, and he prays this prayer. Honestly, none of us are perfect, as David was not perfect. But what he does is he comes to a place where he asks God to forgive me, to create in me a clean heart. And David, who writes these words, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praise. I will boast only in the Lord. Let the helpless hear and take heart. That same guy who took a run into the enemy's camp thinking that would be safe for him. You know how silly that is? That'd be like if you were an overcomer. Maybe you're an alcoholic or you're an addict. Let's just say alcohol because it's an easy illustration. But you're an alcoholic and you've been doing this church thing and it's been working. But, you know, you kind of like, I'm still getting attacked. How many know the attack doesn't stop just because you... Okay, the attack keeps coming. So if you get down the road, you're like, man, all this time I'm still getting attacked. It still keeps coming. That's what his job is. So here's what it would be like. You're like, well, I go to church every week. I go to church every week. I feel good. But, you know, and I know he helped me overcome alcoholism. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the bar and hang out on Sundays. I'm not going to drink. I'm just going to go hang out. I'm going to hang out amongst the enemies. I mean, it's a silly illustration, right? But who would do that? That's what David does. He goes to hide with his enemies. Go hang out with the enemies, thinking that somehow that was going to be the answer to his problems. But David liberates himself, and he says, God, have mercy on me. Look at the rest of the psalm in Psalm 56. He says this. This is his psalm. Again, he writes this before this moment where he's acting insane. He writes this. My enemies will retreat when I call for your help. This is his whole repentance thing. This I know, God is on my side. I praise God for what he has promised. Yes, I praise the Lord for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? I will fulfill my vows. I will fulfill my vows to you, O God, and I will offer sacrifice of thanks to your help. Here's what he's doing. He's doing what I did that night when I prayed that prayer. God, if you just save my life, I will do this. I'll fulfill my vows. God will fulfill my call. I'm going to go back to chasing you first. I'll fulfill my vows, he says. Verse 13 says, for you have rescued me from death. You've kept my feet from slipping. So now I can walk in your presence, O God, in your life-giving light. Biggest trick the enemy has is to try and get us to stop praising God, to steal your praise. Praise. Why praise? Because we've already said he shows up, we're getting his presence, there's empowerment, the kingdom shows up, but we praise on Sunday morning. Praise is not what we do for the first 25 minutes of a service every week. Praise is a lifestyle. Praise is something you can do on a regular basis. And the more you'll practice praise on a regular basis, the less you'll find yourself over agreeing with the enemies in your life. Come on, somebody. He says, I'll fulfill my vows to you. He prays this prayer. What does mere mortals say? Oh, what can mere mortals do to you? I'll fulfill my vows to you, O God, and I'll offer a sacrifice of thanks for your help. for you've rescued me from death and you kept my feet from slipping. So now I can walk in your presence. Not only do we get to get in his presence, but and he forgives us, but he begins to enlighten our lives. And we walk in his life-giving light. We basically say, God, I'm sorry. No sugarcoating it. I messed up. I sinned. Everybody say sin. I knew you knew the word. I knew it. I had a feeling. So they go, oh, I made a mistake. Oh, oops. Let's just call it what it is. You sinned. It's just sin. It's okay. Everybody gets all weirded about that word. It's just sin. Okay, relax. Except for that it separates us from God in terms of what God has for us. It's definitely from our call. Not from his love. He loves you completely. Nothing can separate you from his love. But we have this problem with sin. And so we just can repent. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. He'll do it right away. He'll forgive you. The question of why praise, again, is it's life-giving. It's light-giving. It's a gateway into the kingdom of God. David is saying that his relationship with God is worthy of reminding all of us to praise him. I can always praise God, no matter where I'm at. And the reason why we can always praise God is this. Why praise? Well, let me tell you this. For those of you that struggle with, I don't know, I'm not good enough to approach. I didn't do enough good things this week to come into church fully charged and ready to rip for Jesus. Anybody kind of ever felt like that? You just came in dragging in. We've all felt that way. And so it's like, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to approach the throne. Can I remind you of this? You're not even worthy of relationship with him. He made you worthy. It's not even what you do that caused you to enter a relationship. It's everything that he did. He initiated. He paid the price. He shed his blood. His body was beaten. It was him that allowed you to have relationship. So what makes you think there's something you can do to cause you to enter into the presence of God? There's some perfect circumstances that line up in your favor, and the bank account was full, and the gas was full, and the kids didn't fight on the way to school, or on the way to church, and we had a good breakfast, and God provided. It was an awesome week, and our business tripled this week, and all the circumstances were amazing, so I can praise God. I don't know about you, my life doesn't work all that way all the time. I can praise God in the midst of those circumstances, no matter what. And I can praise God in the circumstances before there's an answer. Anybody can go home to a fat bank account and go, ha ha, he's a provider. It's when you're asked to give your last little bit and you're like, ah, oh, do I trust him? And he says, you can trust me. And then what he says in this psalm, he makes all these mistakes. He decides, comes to himself and decides he's not going to be sidelined any longer. Worship team, come, because we're going to end with some worship. He decides he's not going to be sidelined any longer. And he comes to this place and he says to them in the psalm, he's like, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. For I sought the Lord. I was in a mess. I was screwed up. Man, sorry if that offended you. I was in a mess. I found myself in my own devices, in my mess, in my disaster. I love Jesus and all that. Remember, I loved Jesus back when I even started partying. People would use God's name in vain and I want to fight them. It's just a silly, like, weird world I was living in my mind. But I had this love for God and I would defend the faith and yet I couldn't defend it for myself. I found myself in this place, but I came to a place where I said, and I'm telling you, church, as a note for you today, I sought the Lord. I was a mess, and I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me of all my fears. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Like David, every one of us in the room, we're not like superhuman. I don't know about you, but the day I got saved, the enemy didn't stop attacking. Temptations didn't stop coming. Images that I placed in my mind for years are still stuck on the hard drive. Amen or ouch. Don't get all quiet on me. The mistakes that I've made, the list is there. And the enemy will bring it up all the time. And the reality of it is, God's forgiven you from all of that. And you've been set free. You're no longer a slave to that. You're free from that. That's worth rejoicing. That's worth saying, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Next Sunday, when we get together and do praise in the park, what we're going to be telling folks is, praise God, I pray that you invite your friends to come. But what we're going to be telling folks is, listen, we as a church, we've sought the Lord and he's heard us and he's delivered us of all of our fears. There's going to be testimonies of folks that are just going to basically say, listen, it worked for my family. It can work for yours. Taste and see that the Lord is good. This is a message that we have of hope that we have. That's why we praise God. We connect with the life-giving, light-giving message of God that he literally wants to take people's lives and transform them to a place of stupidity where we've all found ourselves. Let's not be so hard on those folks. You were there once too. But let's begin to praise and live the light in such a way that it shows them the way out of their mess. And you might not even have to use words. They're watching your life and they're paying attention. And you say the words like, I cried on the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. The key to David's strength, as I end today, was not allowing anything to stop his praise. I pray you this week practice the presence of God. Stay in the presence of God. Enjoy the presence of God. Enter into the presence of God as quickly as possible. And if it has to start with, God, forgive me, do it. He loves you. If I've got to ask God to forgive me every day 10 times, I'm going to do it. It's not about how messed up you were this week. Ask God to forgive you. He loves you. He wants to have full relationship with you. He wants whatever and you know it. There's a disturbance in the force, if you will. You're not quite fully charged because some things you've done, but get plugged back in. Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me today, God, for the things I said, for that moment. But Lord, now I just turn back to you. What was I thinking, God? I knew better. I should have spoken better. Help me to speak better in those situations. God, help me, Lord, to be your light. God, I wasn't your light in that moment. God, forgive me. And I'm not going to beat myself up over it because I realize what I did was wrong, God. But now I repent from that. And I turn to you, Lord, shine through me. And let your love shine through me. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. For I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. My God did that. Let's worship him.